All right. Good morning, everybody. Hey, didn't Jordan just kill that? Jordan King Cole. It's good. Hey, so we're continuing a series this morning called Happily Ever After. How many of you guys enjoy fairy tales? Everybody, right? Yeah, I mean, how many of you grew up listening to, maybe your parents told you the story of Cinderella and all that garbage, right? I kind of like the more aggressive side of it, like where the, you know, the knight has to go into the dungeon and slay a dragon, right? You know, it's like, yeah, all right. So that's the part of fairy tales that I enjoyed. But here's the thing. This is kind of where we're landing on this. Love is not a fairy tale. In fact, you know how you spell love? W-O-R-K. I'm going to slow it down for just a minute. I understand. You spell love W-O-R-K. It's work. And sometimes it's hard work. And I just don't want us to be naive or to be gullible enough to believe that, well, I mean, this whole love thing is really easy. It is a fairy tale. And they lived happily ever after. The only way that you get to that point is if you're willing to put in some work, if you're willing to make concessions, if you're willing to compromise and to serve each other beyond maybe what is comfortable for you. And so to be selfless instead of selfish, because you see so many relationships where selfishness abounds and you wonder why it's just like an eruption waiting to happen. Have you ever seen that? Do you know what Mount St. Helens is? That's what some relationships look like. All right, so that's kind of that's the whole idea of the series. So what we've done so far is last week it was essentially the foundation for what we're going to talk about this week. This is a continuation in some ways of what it is that we laid down last week. So the title for today's message is Pneuma Love. And it's really confusing right now, but just go with me. Can you do that? All right. So it gets tricky when you realize apparently this is a running joke and I didn't know it. I was at the gym the other day, and a friend of mine was there with his girlfriend, and I guess they were just talking about relationships and dating and all of that stuff, because I guess that's what you do, right? And so he called me over there, and he was like, hey, tell her what your advice is when people are struggling in their relationship. And I said, break up. And it was just, I guess now it's a joke, because here's this, and not if you're married, that's not an option for you, right? But like if you've been dating for 2 weeks and you bicker and argue all the time, just stop it now. Like, just go ahead and get the gun out and put it out of misery. Like, stop it. Because it's not going to get any better. And this is the stupid thing that happens. Maybe this is just a cultural thing for us in the South. We think that, man, if we're struggling in a relationship, let's go ahead and get married and have kids, because that's going to make it a lot easier. So, and y'all only laugh because you know it's true, right? And so if you got a girlfriend, y'all struggling, don't ask me. The answer is break up. That's just my answer. And Shelly's like, y'all need to, I got a girl for you. Let me, come here, come talk. Shelly's like, matchmaker, matchmaker, make me a match. So here's the thing. This is, relationships only highlight the difficulty of love. They only really kind of extrapolate. They only show us, they exacerbate the need for love when you realize that, man, I am completely different than this person. Like, I deeply, truly care about them, but we can't see eye to eye on this. And I need something outside of myself to love them, to care for them. And so that's why, relationships, they don't make love easy. They make love difficult. It gets tricky when you realize that your love is a very limited and conditional love, as much as you may not like to admit that. Like, I will be upfront and 100% honest with you. My love is very limited, and my love is very conditional, right? Anybody else? I mean, even with your children, right? I love my kids, but man, woo! And the parents, like, the people that don't have kids, y'all are like, I don't get it. I'm going to be a great dad one day. Just wait. Just wait. So in order to get to the point that we love people more fully, we have to do a few things that are found in Scripture. And we talked about last week in Matthew chapter 22, where Jesus said, he was kind of being grilled by the Pharisees, and one of them stepped up who was a lawyer, and a friend of mine was here last week, and he just passed the bar exam, and he's a lawyer, and I made a lawyer joke, so he put $20 in my bucket for the kiss the pig thing. Jerk. So no more lawyer jokes this week. But Jesus was being grilled by the lawyers, and they're like, hey, so what is the most important thing in the Torah, in the Old Testament, in the law? And so Jesus answered, like, just clearly as day, the most important thing that you can do is to love God. He said it's to love God with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. And then without pausing, Jesus said, and the second is like it. love your neighbor as you love yourself. And that's what we talked about last week, is before we can fully love other people, we have to fully love ourselves. And we all know how difficult, well, most of us know how difficult that can be. Daniel's so humble, I don't think he struggles with that. But the rest of us, we know how hard it can be to love ourselves. And so we talked about that last week. So this week, we're going to talk about the most important part of this equation, and that's to love God. Like, if you want to love other people well, then you need to have this vertical relationship figured out. You need to have your relationship with God figured out. You need to understand the love that God has for you so that you then, in turn, can love other people well. Because if you don't, you won't. It's really simple, isn't it? If you don't, you won't. You're going to find that your relationships, they have these roadblocks, these issues, because you've got a limitless and conditional love, and you need a love that's outside of yourself to love people that sometimes just get on your nerves. And Shelley's like, amen, amen. So Jesus said, the most important commandment in the law was to love the Lord our God with all of our hearts, souls, minds, and strengths. And then he partnered. Like, I think that this shows the importance of this, because Jesus essentially partnered loving God with loving people. But you know what he did? And I think God was very intentional about this. He put them in order. There was an order to it, right? God is a God of order. He's not a God of chaos. He's a God of structure. And I think about the creation of the world and all of the things that had to be exactly as they were in order for us to be here today. God is a God of order. And I think that he intentionally put these in order. And so that's kind of our first point, is the order of love. Anytime we say the word love, we're going to say it like that, right? I may be naive, but I just think that God was very intentional about this. Jesus said to love God. This is the foremost and greatest commandment. And the second is just like it. There's an order to it. It's to love your neighbor as you love yourself. And I think the answer is really simple when you start asking the question, like, why did he place it in that order? The answer, this is the funny thing. I think the answer is simple, but man, we get this thing so mixed up sometimes. I do this sometimes. I try to love people in and of myself, and that goes nowhere real fast. I can stand up here today as an expert in what it takes to, like, mentally, intellectually, and in terms of knowledge, tell us what it takes to love people, but in practice, I got a lot of work to do. All right, good. I'm glad I had an honest moment with you guys and you left me hanging. It's cool. That would be a great time for, like, a mm-hmm or amen, right? So the answer to this is just, it's really simple. It's like we've got to get the first things first and the second thing second. It's to love God first and then to love your neighbor after that. Loving God results in loving your neighbor. It's called neighbor. It's cause and causation. It's cause and effect, right? One thing leads to the other, but if you bypass the first, you're going to have a lot of difficulty in the second. It leads to relational implosion, right? Because puppy love, let me just break some of your hearts real quick. Puppy love wears off. Puppies become dogs. I mean, big, ugly, nasty, fat, drooling, eating all the time dogs. And so that puppy you're in love with right now, he's going to become a dog. And so you better know that you got a love for him that's beyond puppy love. God is the source. That was all right. That was all right. God is the source of love. God is the source of love. God is the source of my ability to love somebody that just gets on my nerves. Just go ahead and think about them for a minute. Take a minute. Think about that person. You got to go to work tomorrow. You're going to see them. You got to go to school tomorrow. You're going to run into them. And I need some love that's outside of myself to love people sometimes. I need some love that's beyond me to love people sometimes. And God is the source of that ability to love others. Just think about this logically for a minute, right? We're all logical people. How many times have you encountered somebody that it was just really hard to love? You run into them. Sometimes it's people you just kind of meet in passing. Like, you know, it's like just a random encounter, a chance encounter, and they were just really rude when they gave you your food at McDonald's, and you're like, whew, you need some love. But then there are other people that we run into all of the time, right? Maybe they're in your family. And you don't have any choice, but you got to love them, right? And so you need a love that's beyond you, that's outside of you, to love those people. And God is the source of that love. But, if we try to love them without getting first things first, it's not going to work out. If you don't, you won't. And so we've got to get the first things first. Even in relationships that are with people that we truly, deeply care about, we can still mess this up, right? It's there. I am convinced. Shelly and I have been married for, I don't know, 16 years. Is that right? Going on 16 years in June. June 16th will be 16 years. I'm in trouble. Because it's one thing to forget your anniversary. It's another thing to forget it in front of 120 people. So even in the relationships that you have with people that you really care about them and you love them and you would do anything for them, inevitably there will be conflict. Inevitably there will be a disagreement. Inevitably you're going to find out she's right and you're wrong, right? And there are going to be disappointments and there are going to be frustrations, and it's in those moments or those seasons that we need a love that's beyond us. It is so true. Thank you, Shelley. So check this out. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 12. And we could camp out here for a few weeks, but we're going to kind of highlight some of the things that are said in here. So 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 12, it says, "Beloved, let us love one another." You know what it doesn't say? Hey, if you feel like it, love each other. You know what it doesn't say? If they treat you right, love one another. It just says, hey, let us love one another, for love is from God. It emanates from God. That's the source of love. Love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God. And let me just stop there for a second. I've encountered, and maybe you have too, people who have been in church for like a squillion years, and they know everything there is to know about the Bible and eschatology and all of these things, but they are bitter and angry. And I'm like, you need to read the freaking Bible that you quote so much, because it says that if you don't love, then you don't know God. And it blows me away and frustrates me, so I wanted to get that out. Thank you. So this is therapy for me, man. And I don't have to pay for it. That's cool. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this, the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. And he sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins, to be the atonement, to take the place of us on the cross, to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. That's some good stuff, man. That's some heavy stuff. And there are so many things about that I think that we just kind of, we get it off kilter just a little bit, right? We get it out of balance just a little bit. And we try to make love more about us and how we feel than what it really is. And it's ultimately about God. So just quickly, here are some takeaways from this passage. The first one is found in verse 8, and it says that God is love. And I think the way that things are worded is really important. It doesn't say that God has love. It doesn't say that God feels love. It doesn't say that God experiences love. It says that God is love. It's everything that's within him. It's every thought that he thinks towards you emanates from this place of love for you. Even in his direction and discretion and discipline and correction of us, it comes from a place of love. Have you ever been disciplined by your parents and they're like, this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you? And I'm like, you are a liar. But being a parent, man, I hate disciplining my kids, but I have to because I love them. And so when God disciplines us or corrects us or convicts us of something that we're doing, it's ultimately from a place of love. Everything that he does, love courses through his veins. And so it's important to note, not that he has love or feels love towards us when we're in his good graces, because that's kind of how our love is. I love you as long as you're not, bothering me, or you haven't done me wrong, or you haven't treated me a certain way or said certain things about me behind my back, right? And you ain't sent me no emails just kind of griping about everything that we do. If you do all that stuff, then I love you. But that's not God. God is love. And he loves you in spite of you. And in spite of the shortcomings that you have and the failures that you have and the sins maybe that you've experienced. So God is love, not just that he has love. And so it's a love so deep and so real that he was willing to sacrifice everything to prove it. And we see this in the person of Jesus, that he came to the earth. He didn't have to. And so he came willingly and gave up his life for us to demonstrate what love is. And so that's the God that we serve. It's a God that is love, not just that has love. The second takeaway is found in verse 7. It says that love is from God. So the love that we experience, the love that we need, enables us to love other people, is a love that comes from God. It's not a love that's of yourself, right, which would be very limited and conditional. It's a love that's from God. That's the love that we need when we encounter somebody who is unlovable. And that's a poor choice of words, because no one is unlovable, right? Once you understand their story and their struggles and where they've been, you probably would have a lot more success in caring for them, right? So no one is unlovable, and if you just happen to think that way, then you need to think about yourself and how all the things that you've done, in spite of that, God still loves you. So before we jump on that you're unlovable train, you need to think about yourself for just a second, for what it's worth. Although, like I said, that's a poor choice of words. This is the love that we need that helps us to endure even the darkest of seasons, right? Have you ever been in a relationship, and overall, it was a good relationship, but maybe you go for weeks or a month or even months, and it's just like things aren't clicking, and things are kind of tough. Maybe it's your best friend. Maybe it's your wife. Maybe it's your spouse. Maybe it's your parents. Whatever the case is. And you're just kind of, I don't know, you're agitated with each other. You're irritated with each other. And you know what a lot of people do in situations like that? They quit. And you know what we're called to do? Endure. And the way that you endure is when you have a love that's beyond yourself, that's greater than your capacity to love. It reminds me, have you guys seen this? It's called Newton's Cradle. Newton's Cradle. Y'all remember these? I didn't know what to call it when I was Googling it. I was like, marble ball dropping thing. And I was like, this could go really bad. But it came up, Newton's Cradle, first thing that came up. So you guys know what Newton's Cradle is, right? You take, you know, one side and it, right? Something to that effect. And I was thinking about, we've all probably heard love explained as a triangle. Not like weird, but like, obviously, you've got somebody that you're in a relationship with, and the most important thing is to have, you know, God in that relationship. So our vertical relationships results in efficiency or effectiveness and success in our horizontal relationship. So it's kind of referred to as a love triangle. And that just, I think it's well-intentioned, and there's probably a lot of truth to it, but I think it's more accurate when we look at it like Newton's cradle. So that's us swinging out here, right? And what I was thinking about, the way that this kind of made sense to me, is on the other side of that is the person that you're trying to love. And so when you receive love, you're able to give love. When you receive love, then you're able to give love. It's receive, then give, and receive, then give, and receive, and give. And so it's this ongoing thing that as you receive love from God, you're able to give love to other people. And so that's the way that I think that maybe we should view this. It's like if you're struggling to love, maybe you need to receive some love. Maybe you need to stop what you're doing and spend some time with God, because that's what enables us to love other people. We need to ask for God's help. We need to ask for a greater capacity to love other people. We need to ask for more compassion and understanding. And Lord, help us be more patient. That's a great time for the wives in the room to be like, mm-hmm. Okay. Y'all did good. Y'all didn't throw your husbands under the bus. I appreciate that. So just think about the Newton's cradle next time you're thinking about how this thing works. We need love that's beyond us. So as we receive love, we give love. So here's kind of the practical application part of it. We're going to call this section portable love. Hey, this, if you don't know what this is a portable air tank, if you can read. I don't know, can you see that? That was an answer. That was, yeah, Q&A. All right. It says portable air tank, small, very fine print. So we're going to talk about portable love. It's one thing to know that we're called to love each other, and we're loved by God, and we're supposed to love God and then love people, and right, and all of those things. It's one thing to know that. It's an entirely different thing to live that out. Completely different, right? Because what point is it? What's the value in knowing something and doing nothing? What's the point in being a hearer of God's word and not a doer of God's word? We need to get to the place where not only do we know that we're supposed to love other people, we get to the place where we actually do love other people. So this is the part where this equation becomes real and tangible for us in our lives. It's one thing, like I said, to know that God loves us and we're supposed to love other people, but it's an entirely different thing to put it into practice. So the first thing that we can do to make our love portable is to look at Jesus, right? Do you need sources of inspiration from time to time? How many of you guys, y'all like YouTube? Y'all spend too much time on YouTube? Like, so if you're looking for a tutorial on how to do something, you hop on YouTube. Man, I have done so many things, mostly successfully. I've had a few failures from using tutorials on YouTube. Like, I've fixed iPhones and alternators and pulled starters, and I mean, built a rocket ship. I mean, some really cool stuff using tutorials on YouTube. And I think sometimes we need something to look at to kind of guide us in the right direction. And I think Jesus is the perfect place to start. If you're struggling to love, if you need more love in your life, if you need, maybe you're struggling in this relationship and you think that you could contribute more love to the relationship and the equation, then maybe you need to look at Jesus. You need to stop thinking about yourself so much and think about somebody who was willing to give up everything for you, who was willing to serve and to sacrifice and to suffer for you, all in the name of love, right? Verse 10, it says this, in this is love. Like, this is it. This is, if you want to know what the answer is, if you want to know what the definition is, if you need some clarity about what love is, in this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and he sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. I really just wanted to say that word one more time. So if you're struggling to love, if you're struggling in your marriage or any other relationship, just take some time and look at Jesus. Like this sacrificial life that he lived, selfless and giving and loving and serving. And it just kind of refocuses your priority and your perspective, right? Because it becomes much less important to be right than it does to make a difference when you think about Jesus. Because Jesus was right, but he wanted to make a difference. And I think so many times I personally like to be right and sometimes forget that it's more important to make a difference. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Man, that's a struggle that's real. Shelley told me the other night we were having intense fellowship. She figured that out. And she said, you should have been a lawyer. She didn't say it like that. She was very encouraging, right? And that was my plan. But I kind of default to this place where I want to be right. And I want to prove my point. And I'm going to argue to the point that I beat you down so much that I'm right. And that's crap, man. Like, that's not love. That's selfish. And we need to be selfless. Even if you're right, shut up. That's some advice. You want some relationship advice? Break up or shut up. Those are my two things. Okay, good. Moving right along. And so just think about the way, look at the way that he loved you. Jesus loved you in spite of you. Like my favorite verse, one of at least, Romans 5:8, it says that God demonstrates his love to you in this. While you were still a sinner, while you were still separated from God, distant from God, you built this wall between you and him. God loved you enough to give you his son sacrificially. And so that's what we need to look at. Just look at Jesus. Focusing on the love that was given to us empowers us to give love. Even when our emotions are out of sorts and we don't feel like it. Let's talk about that one for just a minute, right? Just one. Put it on a clock. Give me a minute to talk about feelings. I'll do it. I can do it, right? So feelings. I don't care what you feel like. That's my third. Break up. Well, shut up. I don't care what you feel like. What kind of church is this? Here's the deal. Let me talk to the married folks for just 1 minute. If you're not married, just look at them and laugh, right? Tell me in your vows where it says that you're going to do something based on how you feel. These vows that you took before God, these vows that maybe you wrote yourself, tell me where it says something about how you feel. It doesn't. It says in thick or thin, through life and death and sickness or in health and poorness and wealth, you are going to love that other person. You're going to endure in the darkest of seasons. It doesn't matter how you feel. Get out of your feelings. Stop thinking that your feelings should dictate your actions because the others should be true. Sometimes you need to stop and I love the way Paul says this. He says, I think myself happy. Not that like I'm crazy and I think I'm happy. It's that I stop getting so consumed with my feelings and I start thinking myself happy. And you need to do that in your relationships. Maybe you need to love yourself into feeling like you actually love. And you need to put some action into your feelings. And so don't let the dog wag the tail, but let the tail wag vice versa. Go. Sounds so obvious. I know this sounds so obvious. This is one of those things that's like, duh, right? But I've also been around long enough to know that Christians drop the ball on a regular basis when it comes to stuff like this. We have a really bad habit of falling into the performance trap and not taking time to fuel up, right? One thing that we can do to make our love portable is just to spend some time with God. Like, if you want love that's portable, if you want love that's beyond yourself, if you want love that will help you to endure, if you want love that's more important about, or more focused on making a difference than it is about being right, then you need to spend time with God. So obvious, but we have this really awful habit of treating Christianity like a checklist, right? And we forget that the most important thing about you is your personal relationship with God. Like, that's the most important thing about you. I don't care how successful you are in your career, how many kids you got, how many wives you have. That's weird. caught myself on that one. But then I still said it, so I don't know if it does any good. All of that stuff is superfluous. It's cool. It's important, but it's not the most important thing. The most important thing is your personal relationship with God. And if you need more love, if you need a greater capacity to love, if you feel like you're struggling in some way, that's where you should start. Spend some time with God. And I know we treat our spirituality like a checklist, and we like, oh, I went to church, check, right? I read one chapter of the Bible, check. I was really kind to this random person I encountered, check. I was a butthole to my wife. X, right? The most important thing is that we love God, and then we can love other people. Shelly gets mad when I say butthole. She's right. She's making a list. Okay. If we're all being honest this morning, and we should, right? We should be honest in church. I fall prey to this mentality sometimes. Like, I get into these traps sometimes where I'll go through all of the motions, and I'll kind of, you know, on the exterior, I'll have this really solid facade of Christianity and spirituality, but in reality, I'm struggling because I'm not spending quality time with God like I should. And I've shared with you guys before how I can see with great clarity the link between my capacity to love and the quality of my personal time spent with God. I'm going to say that statement one more time because it was really, when I wrote that down, I was like, that's really good. There is great clarity for me, the link between my capacity to love and the quality of my personal time spent with God. I see it so obvious, and Shelly probably sees it more obviously than anyone. Like, I swear, she's probably at day, she's like, did you pray this morning? Because you're kind of being rude, right? And it's so true, and it's so obvious, but what do? We neglect it. We stop talking about it, or we forget about it, and we try to circumvent, you know, the first part of loving God and try to love people without first loving God. And so it's really, really, really important. It's paramount that we spend time with God. If you want to love, spend time with love. If you want to love, hang out with the source of love, the God who is love, whom love is from. He's the giver of love. And if you need more, spend some time with him. It's one thing to have portability, right? It's one thing to encounter people. It's one thing to have friendships and to have relationships. But it's another thing altogether to have something to offer to those relationships, right? It's one thing for you to have a boyfriend. It's one thing for you to have a girlfriend, husband, or a wife. But it's another thing for you to have something to bring to the table, something to give to that other person. And the thing that you need to give is love. And where does that come from? How do you have portability that makes a difference in your relationship? You know what this thing does? If this doesn't have anything in it, it is a waste of space. And it's kind of heavy. Somebody can hold this thing. No, I'm just kidding. If this doesn't have any air in it, it's a portable air tank, right? So what you do, the way this works, just let me kind of break it down for you really simply. You go to an air compressor, something that generates air. Okay. You fill it up with love, air, and then you can take it anywhere you want to take it and give some love, air. Y'all slow clap game is struggling, but I appreciate it. It's the effort that counts, right? And so here's the thing, like, that's really simple for us to understand, right? Like, we want to go love when we go to work, and we want to carry love with us when we go out, and we want to have love in our homes, but if you're not filled with love yourself, you have nothing to offer. You're wasting space. And so what we need to do is be filled with air, filled with love, so that we can then go offer something to someone else. We can make a difference for someone else. We can love beyond our capacity and our ability to love. It's a love that's outside of ourselves. It's coming from somewhere else. Obviously, in this case, it's coming from God. It's from Him. He gives it to us and allows us to share it with other people. So don't be a waste of space, right? Allow God to fill you up so that you have something to offer. And here's the thing. We don't have much love to give if we haven't spent time with love Himself. Loving God and being loved by God empowers us to go and love others. It makes our love portable. It makes it so that we can go to all of the places that we have to go. And look, I know you got to go to work. It stinks, but you got to do it, right? You got to pay the bills. You got to go to work, so you might as well take some love there. You got to go to school, otherwise they're going to call you with truancy charges. You got to go, so you might as well take some love there. You made that commitment. You said you were going to marry, and you said through thick and thin, or for richer or poorer or better or worse or all of those things. And so you're in it, so you might as well bring some love to it. And so that's, our love needs to be portable, and we need to spend time with God in order to make that the case. You can't go serve others if your love tank isn't full, right? So as I've gotten older, you guys probably, guys, I don't know, I don't want to talk about girls and their weight. I'm not going there. I value my life. But as I've gotten older, I've noticed that it's a lot easier to put on weight. And so a lot of the guys, when they go to the gym, are like, I want to get big, man. I'm just like, it's coming, just wait. The problem is you just carry it in different places. And so now my excuse is that this is a fuel tank for a love machine. But you can't go serve other people if your love tank isn't full. You'll find it much more difficult to overcome conflict if you're not filled up. You'll find it much more difficult to overcome conflict if you're not filled up. You'll find it a lot more likely that you're going to make a point than make a difference if you're not filled up. You'll find the need to be right much greater if you're not filled up. And so let's not do that. You'll find that molehills turn into mountains if you're not filled up. You're going to find that when you get into a disagreement, that you're going to start talking about things that aren't even related to the thing that you were originally talking about when you're not filled up. Because it's all about the argument and the drama and the conflict and making a point, not making a difference. And that's what happens if you're not filled up. And so we need to be filled up. We need to allow God to fill our hearts with love so that we can then go love other people. We're going to close with this thought in case you needed some more convincing. This is really cool. If you're a nerd, any nerd's not the cool term anymore. Geeks. Any geeks in the room? It's the age of the geek, baby. So the Greek word for spirit or breath is transliterated to the word pneuma. Pneuma. It's the P-N-E-U-M-A. Pneuma. And so for us, the way that things are ascribed when they are related to air, they're given this prefix, pneuma. And so let me just kind of break this down for you. So in John chapter 3, when Jesus said that we must be born of the Spirit to enter the kingdom of God, Jesus is like, hey, this is what you do to get to the place where you can inherit eternal life. This is how you accept me. You must be born of the Spirit. And the word spirit there is the word, the Greek word, pneuma. Pneuma, P-N-E-U-M-A. And so, again, in our lexicon, our understanding of words, we use pneuma to describe things that are related to air. So this is a pneumatic air tank. So you have a compressor. It's a pneumatic compressor. You have nail guns that are powered by air. So they're pneumatic air guns. Even pneumonia, it's an inflammation of the air sacs in your lungs. It's related to air. And so it says that you must be born of the Spirit. You need God's Spirit. You need to be filled with His Spirit in order to love other people. And so I think what we need to do today is just ask God to fill us with His love, to fill us with air, to fill us with His Spirit, to fill us with His pneuma this morning, so that when we go to school tomorrow and we go to work tomorrow, church doesn't stay here, church goes there. Doesn't that make a big difference? When you've got something to offer and you're filled, have you ever been like this where maybe you're just overly joyful for whatever reason and the people around you are like, what are you smoking? Right? Now, so what if we did that with love? Like, what if there was just this deep sense of appreciation and a great awareness that the love we should share with them is a result of God loving us in our lives everywhere that we went? Our love became portable. And the way that happens is we spend time with God. We ask Him to increase our capacity to love other people, to give us more to offer, for God to fill us and to expand our understanding of, hey, man, everybody's not perfect. And people are difficult sometimes, but I'm called to love them anyway. So that's what we're going to do this morning. So if you'll bow your heads and close your eyes, I want to pray that God would fill us this morning with His love so that we could then go to the places that we're called to go and give His love. Jesus, thank You so much for this incredible example of love, this demonstration of love that You gave us, that You sacrificed Your life for ours. And it's not like we were worth it. It's not like we deserved it. It's not as if we earned it, but You gave it anyway. And what an incredible example that is to us, that even if we're in a situation where love is difficult or love doesn't seem deserved, we're called to love anyway. So God, help us to fix our eyes on You, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before Him, He endured the cross. He suffered through some things. Let that be an example to us of the suffering maybe that we go through in our pursuit of loving other people. God, that it's not about making a point, but it's about making a difference. It's not about being right. It's about showing and sharing Your love. Help us to remember, God, the order of this equation, that we love You first. Really, more accurately, that You love us first. And that enables us and empowers us to love other people. God, fill us with Your love. Expand our capacity to love. Make our love portable this morning so that wherever we go and whoever we encounter, we can share You and share Your love. It's in Jesus' incredible name we pray. And everybody said, amen.